always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
Please, come on, hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday. He is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody seen Mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff?
Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork.
Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. Right here on Revolution Radio.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist. Featuring Willow Andreessen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Show them what we got here. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 5:01 p.m. on the 6th of March, 2021. We're talking about the Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken, one of the writings of Edward Albert Meyer, a man who is in his 80s and lives in Switzerland. When he was a young boy growing up in Bulak, he started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svath, who landed a silvery pear-shaped craft in northern Switzerland right around 1943 or 42. Eventually, Billy went up in the ship and used to have these long discussions with Svath. And Svath would tell Billy about Billy's previous personalities, his predecessor personalities, his Vorgängers, Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, Muhammad. And how in each one of these previous lives he taught an ancient universal teaching called the Teaching of the Spirit, which was never properly written down until the present time, and now it's written down in books like Macht der Gedanken, Might of Thoughts, The Psyche, Die Art zu Leben, The Way to Live, Kelch der Wahrheit, The Goblet of Truth, and The Talmud of Emmanuel, to name a few. And one of the important aspects of this teaching is it teaches us about kind of the twofold nature of the human being. We have two personalities and we have two kinds of consciousness. We have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness. And in the spiritual consciousness, at the center of it is something called the Geist form. The spirit form. The spirit form enters into the body of the child at 21 days. After the sperm fertilizes the egg, the Geist form comes in from the spirit realm, and it brings with it a personality and a subconsciousness and unconsciousness that has been prepared for another lifetime. And the body of the child is enlivened when the spirit form comes in. The heart starts to beat, and there is kind of an interlaced energy that travels throughout the entire body. And the child starts to think at a very young age. Now, programmed into the subconsciousness of the child is something you might think of as a character pattern of all that wisdom from the previous lifetimes, the consciousness forms like love and analysis and logic is programmed into that subconsciousness. So as the child starts to grow up again, it can get these quiet impulses of wisdom that come from the innermost personality. These are direction determining impulses. Two personalities live in the human being during his life. One is the inner nature, the ego, which the human being creates according to his own ideas and guidelines. That ego is always demanding, calculating, hysterical, garrulous, as well as equipped with unvalues. We were talking about earlier these unvalues. In other words, when we start to value things which are really negative and unhealthy, unvalues guarantee the human being a life according to his own recommendations. We get these direction determining impulses from your own innermost creational nature. So we have these two natures that exist within us. And let me read to you a little bit about the Gemut. The Gemut is referred to as the spiritual block and factor which within the spirit body of a life form. So we have a spirit body. I've not heard Billy talk about it a whole lot. I sense that that's where a lot of our health is, in the spirit body. And this spirit body is very important, as this Gemut is as well. The Gemut regulates and looks after the spirit consciousness-based feelings and the spirit consciousness-based thoughts. So we have a kind of thought that comes from the Gemut, which is a spiritual thought. What does that mean? Well, it's neutral positive. No negative thoughts. The Gemut of the spirit realm cannot be influenced by negative powers, negative thoughts. Only powers corresponding to an equalized form of positive and negative penetrate into the Gemut. So the Gemut for the spirit consciousness is like the psyche is to the material consciousness. The Gemut always has an equalized harmony. Same with your spirit form, always equalized harmony. And your psyche profits and benefits from that to a certain degree. because the Gemüt supplies the psyche to a certain extent with these swinging waves in the necessary amounts to send this kind of magnetic life energy. Now, the material consciousness is able to create a negative as well as positive as well as neutral positive thoughts. But the spirit consciousness, the Gemüt, the spiritual consciousness, only thinks in this neutral positive equalized way. Thus, the Gemüt has no direct connection with the material body. Now, that's interesting. And indeed, then, also not. When the human being erroneously speaks of the Gemüt as a factor from which supposedly comes forth the feeling life, which must be a German speaker kind of thing. So anyway, we have the spirit form and we have the spiritual consciousness. We have the Gemüt, which kind of looks over the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. And the psyche looks over the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. Now, one of the things we do a lot here on the earth is use false word concepts and not speak about things in the most accurate way. The spirit form, this Geist form that enters into the body of the child at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, is said to be a minute part piece of creation. And what's really interesting about this spirit form that we have is it cannot be disturbed or negatively affected by anything in the material realm, although we think of it that way. The material consciousness realm, the material consciousness itself, can indeed become disturbed. As we've been talking about tonight, we do get occasionally our material consciousness does get disturbed. But that's contrary to the untouchable spirit, which represents a purely creational product in its form and power as well as in its swinging wave. Now, on the other side of that, the material consciousness alone can be creative. Now, that surprises me in a way, because I've always thought that the true creative capability of the human being was a spiritual thing. Maybe it's not. The material consciousness alone can be creative, as well as susceptible to illness and other health difficulties, which we were talking about earlier. The personality, the material consciousness, all the thoughts and feelings, all emotions, as well as all electromagnetic powers and swinging waves, are created, which distinguish and direct the life form concerned. Thus, in this case, the human being in particular is spoken of. According to the explanation given, it's absolutely clear that no illness or other terrible things exist which the spirit could be subject to. Now, that's kind of comforting. I remember the first time I read this, I was really kind of amazed by this. Namely, as a creational part piece, it is taboo to everything worldly and cannot be harmed and injured by any disturbances or influences. So if you got run over by a truck tomorrow, it wouldn't harm your spirit form in any way. So we have these two kinds of consciousness in our bodies that we're always kind of dealing with. And we get these direction-determining impulses that come from the spirit form, from the Gemut. They affect our conduct of life, our Lebensführung, if we let them. If we let these impulses affect us, and we probably should. Now, what is an unvalue? An aesthetic or ethical badness. Negative values or unvalues come from the ego. So, let me read this here. It says, the definition of personality. Now, this is one of the things I've been looking at for like the past couple weeks, trying to understand what personality is. And I don't really have a good definition of personality. And I don't think our research has a good definition of personality. But here is one way to look at things. It says, the definition of personality is the combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. She has a sunny personality that was very engaging. Synonyms like character, nature, disposition, temperament, makeup, persona, psyche. So we don't have a generally agreed upon definition of personality. Most theories focus on motivation and psychological interactions within one's environment. And there's something called the personality imprint that exists. So we human beings, we have this thing called personality that we don't even have a good definition for yet. And the Meyer information teaches us that the creation, the universal consciousness, doesn't have a personality. That animals do, that humans do, but this super intelligence that, you know, is driving behind our universe doesn't. We have also something called the Vorganger, the predecessor personality. You have predecessor personalities that you might be able to pull out of the spiker box, or this, you know, there are banks of information, like libraries at the galaxy level and the universal level and the planetary level. Yeah, that you can, if you have the right thinking, you can actually pull information out of these universal storage banks that have all this information. So you might be able to pull back one of your personalities from the past. Now, I don't think we really know how to do that. Billy does, probably. In later stages of our evolution, I think there's something called the Age of Recognitions, which is in stage 5 of human evolution, where we can go back and look at those old personality imprints. But I don't think we can do that too much now. Sometimes a person could pull a memory out of the subconscious sometimes from a previous experience, potentially. Let me read this on page 390. It says, the human being is able to distinguish the various impulses and values of the innermost nature from the self-created personality. So, the innermost nature you didn't create. Your ego you created. So, the self-created personality is the one we have to kind of babysit and help. So, he, she therefore learns to recognize the various forms of characteristic which, on the one hand, radiate as guiding impulses from his or her innermost creational nature. Now, I don't know if this is true, but I think we do get these, well, I know it's true that we do get these impulses, and I think they may come and guide us in various areas of life, artistically, creatively, but I think the true creativeness comes from the material consciousness. The self-created ego is very loud. If you ever see anybody that's very noisy, very garrulous, they are probably speaking more from their material consciousness. So this innermost creational nature gives life to the material consciousness, the subconsciousness. It gives life to the body. It creates his impulses for striving. And this is kind of what we were talking about earlier, like balancing the impulses for striving against the necessity of having time to relax and time to, you know, charge up our batteries. And I think when you're very, very busy and you haven't left time for the spiritual aspect of things, you're running yourself down even more. So anyway, we get these quiet impulses of wisdom that we can listen to if we pay attention. So we have to pay attention and listen to this innermost creational nature. Now the ego, is calculating, it's demanding, it's hysterical, it's uncontrollable, it's overwrought, it's emotional, it's in a frenzy, it's unrestrained, it's wild, it's feverish, it lives a life for its own laws, it's excessively talkative, especially on trivial matters. It's equipped with unvalues. It complicates things. It's threatened by the evolution of our consciousness. I've forgotten about this totally. The more you evolve, the more you, you know, progress spiritually, the more threatened is this ego. As your consciousness gets more evolved, there's this part of you that's becoming threatened. And your consciousness, your ego, it tends to complicate things. So, you know, you probably experienced that before where you're really convincing yourself that something can't be done because it seems too complicated. It's also related to what's called the false self or the erat self. And the ego will try to create a tyranny over your consciousness. Now, there's something called fine fluidal energy, which is what your spirit form is really made out of. The spirit of the human being is more or less his or her fine fluidal energy source, his indestructible inner life power. So this spirit form, it's independent of your coarse material body. So we have fine matter, which is the spiritual consciousness, and we have the coarse matter, which is the body. And we have this fluidal force. So we have mental oscillations which radiate. And our skeleton holds a lot of these fine fluidal energies. So we have the human being creating something called the innermost. Let me read this. I'm going to find this. This is page on page 390. Here. Bear with me, folks. This is the Might of Thoughts again. Through the consciousness's awake ability to access, the human being is able to distinguish the various impulses and values of the innermost nature from the self-created personality, so that he or she therefore learns to recognize the various forms of characteristics which on the one hand radiate as guiding impulses from his innermost creational nature, or which on the other hand attempt to drown out everything as various piercing and often loud seductive voices from the self-created I. You know, and I was thinking about something like this week, because I noticed that there are certain kinds of music which seem to be very healing on a very fundamental level, and you can actually use those to help you recover, that kind of music. Now, there's another kind of music which isn't. So you have to be very, very careful about that, and I think it's the same way when you're listening to certain kind of presentations. Listen to that energy that's coming out. Is it healthy or is it not? We get so used to listening to unhealthy things, we cannot really even distinguish between the two anymore. If the required efforts are undertaken, then the true nature of the innermost creational nature releases everything in terms of wish for impulses for the creation of capabilities, powers, and transformations, so that the inner self-created nature, the actual personality which is expressed outwardly, can be acquired, whereby joy, love, peace, and harmony, as well as freedom, arise in one's own ego, and a trust in oneself is created, which makes it clear that everything which arises in the form of wishes, demands, ideas, efforts, and imaginations can be achieved. Well, that's interesting that this trust arises, where you kind of start to trust yourself, and you can start to achieve things. This is very healthy. The human being thereby creates in him or herself the wisest leader that he or she could ever wish for. So sometimes I think this, your inner nature conforms to the innermost creational nature, and you can start to trust yourself, and you can start to achieve things. And this is a really good thing. The innermost creational personality gradually becomes stronger and clearer, and the human being who makes efforts in accord with this creational laws and recommendations is more and more able to distinguish between the real creational truth, the innermost I, and the many deceptions of the self-created ego. You know, and I think when the material consciousness is being very, very creative, it is stepping away from that ego. So the ego has let things go, so to speak. Very interesting stuff here. This book, if you've never read it, you might want to try to get it sometimes. It's called The Might of Thoughts. It's probably going to take you a while to really absorb everything. At least I would think so. It has taken me a while. But, you know, that everything that the human conceives can bear fruit. This is on page 349. It says, whenever doubts surface in any form, they must simply be regarded and treated as that which they actually are, namely only obstacles on the way of one's development towards that which is higher. Doubt, a status between belief and disbelief, involves uncertainty or distrust. And I think what happens is we start to distrust ourselves. A lack of sureness of alleged fact, an action, a motive, or a decision. The Meyer information calls doubt an obstacle.